Wow, it's really tied up here. That's great. Thanks a lot for the borrowing. Thanks, Dan, and thanks, Sarah, for the great intro. Well, firstly, a very special welcome to everyone here, particularly if you're new. It is so exciting to see everyone crowding here. It's so exciting that we can finally sing without masks and sound like that. And it's also great that we just be here celebrating Good Friday. But I want to say to you, it's actually a quite weird day today, and I'll tell you why in a moment. But I thought I'd ask you to turn around to the person next to you and share with each other for 30 seconds what was the weirdest weekend you've ever had. Okay? You only got 30 seconds. Think about it. What was the weirdest weekend that you ever had, right? Weirdest. Weirdest weekend you ever had. Okay, you only got 30 seconds. With the weirdest weekend you've ever had. Weirdest weekend. And you in Zoom land, you can chat also on the weirdest weekend. Put on the chat line. But I'm not sure if I can see you on the chat. Let's see if I can see it. All right, let's turn around. All right. Now let's get a bit of interaction here. What was the weirdest weekend you ever had? Who wants to give it a shot? Who wants to be the first one who shared about their weirdest weekend? Anyone? Weirdest weekend. Who wants to give it a shot? And we'll give a prize for the weirdest weekend. I'll get you a coffee. Oh, okay. Karen's going to offer some chocolates. All right. Let's get a shot. Okay, Hans, weirdest weekend.
We didn't get up today. We're still
defining the music. That deserves a prize. Okay. You got to be do law or something like that. No, you're not doing graphics. Okay, weirdest weekend. Someone else. Kathy. That's you. What is that? I thought it was an obvious... All right, I thought it was an obvious question. Okay, Jess. Two weddings in 2 weekends, or is it two weddings, one weekend? That's pretty weird. Oh, that's not weird, I suppose. That's pretty exciting. Okay, anyone has a weirder one? Come on, this Karen's going to offer some chocolates. Okay, Elizabeth. Elizabeth. Okay, weird in a good sense. Okay, to be able to zoom into service as a last time to see the family before they pass to glory. Yep, weird in a nice sense. Who wants to watch? Anyone else? Come on, someone in the back there. You had a what? Yeah, okay, that's pretty weird. All right, okay. One for you, the last up this side here. Anyone, Tim, you always got some weird things. All right, okay. All right, that's enough. All right, you win it. You get the chocolates at the end, Tim. You're always a weird man. Okay. Let me tell you my weirdest weekend. It was actually last weekend. It was actually quite a weird weekend. You know why? In the morning was the funeral of one of our dear members, Gordon, that Elizabeth talked about. And you know what's so weird about that weekend? Straight after that, I went to a wedding. From a funeral, straight after that, straight to a wedding. That, I say, was weird. But I want to put a question to you. What is it that those two events have in common? What is it that those two events have in common? And I'm just talking about a funeral and a wedding. What is it that those two events have in common? All right, turn around. Here's another question. What is it those two events have in common? A wedding and a funeral. Any thoughts? What is it these two events have in common? A wedding and a funeral. All right, that's it. Let's. Hopefully we didn't get into a definition of words at this point. All right, let's see. Let's give it a shot, all right? All right. Louise, what do they two have in common? Okay. Righto. Okay. Anyone else? Yes. I took you out. You go. All right. Go. Go for it, too. Both events mark the end of the right. Well, what I do with that one? It marked the end of freedom. Michelle, can you sort of restrain him? In fact, can you sort of take him out? Okay, let's go. All right, you deserve another chocolate for that one too. What else? One other person. Give it a shot. Yes? The what? Both in a suit. You're both in a suit. Yes, that's interesting. Yes, that's possibly true. Let me tell you what's so weird about those, and what is it that they both have in common? Both of them, when you think about it, are both a celebration of life. Interesting, isn't it? A funeral, when we're listening to this, the memorial of Gordon, it was a celebration of his life past. And they rehearsed all the great things, his family, his businesses, his life in God, his walk with God. It was a celebration of his life past and the life to come. But a wedding is also a celebration of the life to come, isn't it? As they begin their new journey, they are now celebrating from moving from being single to actually being married. Not tied together, but freedom in a new sense, Tim. In a new sense. I've got to say that for Michelle's sake, right? And that, in that sense, that's what funerals and weddings are about, a celebration of life. This is why Easter is so strange. Because Easter is not a celebration of Jesus' life, but it's a celebration of his death. Now think about it. What do we do at Easter? We retrace the steps that led to leading to Jesus' betrayal. We also rehearse his unfair trial in the religious court. We read the accounts of him being handed to the soldiers to be bashed repeatedly and kicked brutally. And then we read about him being whipped and flesh being ripped from his body. And it all climaxes in an excruciating description of his crucifixion, which from that comes the word excruciating. And then we call this Good Friday. We remember those events, and here's what's so strange about it. We celebrate that. Now, that is weird, isn't it? We celebrate the life of Gordon, one of our dear members. We celebrate the life to come of our couple who was married just recently. And today, we celebrate the grisly death of Jesus. Now, that's got to be crazy. And so it begs the question, what was so unique and so different about celebrating the death of someone? I mean, when we celebrate anyone's death, we celebrate the death of a criminal who created heinous injustice in the world. We might celebrate the death of a dictator, of a tyrant. What was it about this man that causes us to celebrate his death every year? What was so different about it? And the passage I want to focus on is just one verse, and that's Mark 10:45. Because Jesus himself tells us why his death is something worth celebrating.
What does it say? The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let me, in the next few minutes, try and unpack some of the key points. Firstly, it says he came. And what's the idea that he came? It means that Jesus was on a mission. From the get-go to the very end, he was on a mission. Now you think about it, we all want to know what our life's about, isn't it? You always ask the question, what do you want to do with life? And that's a big question we always ask ourselves, ask others, and oftentimes we don't know what we want to do with our life. But there are the rare people who do have a very clear understanding of what they want to do. When the passage says he came, he means that he had a mission in life. He knew what his life was all about from the very beginning of life, from the very beginning to the very end. His life was all single-minded on his mission. He came. Well, what did he came to do? Well, that's the next line says that. He came not to be served, but to serve. And I actually want to say that's actually quite a radical statement. Why is that? Well, you think about it. What's life all about? If you don't talk about what you want out of life, what do you want out of life? I want to be happy. I want to be rich. I want to be powerful. I want to be famous. And you may or may not be so brutal and so you know, gross and saying those sorts of things. But think about what we do in our life. Everything we do is all geared and designed and constructed to make ourselves feel good about ourselves. We look for the nice place to live because it's comfortable and I like it. We look for a place to travel because I like it and it makes me feel good. We hang out with people because it makes me feel good. We get this job because I like this job. It's all about ourselves. We come into this world not to serve, but to be served, and we get angry when people don't do what we want. We get angry when things don't go according to our plan. But Jesus is quite radical, because he says, I came not to be served, but to serve. He says, it's not about me, it's about you. It's not about my comfort, it's about your life. I came, my mission in life is not about me. It's all about you. And that's radical, I want to say. What is it that he came to do for us? Well, again, Jesus explains it to us, doesn't he? He says he came to give his life as a ransom for many. As a ransom for many. Well, we know the idea of a ransom, don't we? A ransom is the idea of a substitution. We pay a ransom as a substitute to release someone. And Jesus says here, he came as a ransom. That is to say, he came as a substitute in our place. Let me put it this way. What he's effectively saying is that when he suffered, when he was beaten, when he was being bashed, and when he died the excruciating death on the cross, he's actually saying he was dying in our place. Now pause for that moment. A lot of people, when they say people died for us, he would die like sort of Braveheart, you know, the movie. It was for a cause, to inspire people, to be an example to people. But Jesus actually, the word says, goes further than that. He says he died not just to inspire people, be a model, but actually he died in our place. He suffered and died in my place. He wasn't simply doing a nice thing for me. He was actually doing a swap for me. And you got to think, how crazy is that? When was the last time someone did a swap for you? I'm not talking about someone doing something nice for you, but someone's trading places with you. Someone doing a swap with you. Imagine this. Just imagine this. You're stuck overseas. You've been holding overseas. COVID hit and you're stuck. and you've been stuck there for months and you're trying to get out. There's one last plane going out there. No more seats. You're queued up. You're the last person and you can't get in because the person before you had got the last seat. The person before you hears your despair and he's come to you and says, look, tell you what, you take my seat. You get on the plane, you go home, I'll just stay back here. That wasn't just a nice thing. That was a crazy thing. He did a swap for you. He just didn't do something nice. He actually swapped his place for you. You get home, he stays behind. Or imagine this. You're one of the two last candidates going for a job, a top job. The word gets out that this other guy's going to get the job and you miss out. You desperately want it. But the guy hears that you want it so much. You know what he does? He pulls out so that you can get the job. That's just not a nice thing. That's a crazily mad thing that he would give up the job so that you can get the job. He did swap. Or imagine this is a scenario. You desperately need a heart transplant. But your friend knows that you need the heart transplant. You have a suitable heart. And you decide to give him your heart to your friend. You know what that means? He lives, you die. He just didn't do a nice thing for you. He actually gave up his life for you. You see, we have friends who do nice things for us, don't we? But when was the last time someone did a crazily mad thing for you? When was the last time someone swapped something so that you can have it, which meant that he misses out? Let's bring back to Jesus. You see, his death was not an accident or the death of... It was a unique death. It was a death where he did a swap for us. It begs the question, why? What did I need that required for him to have to die for me? What was so, so bad that required him to do something so, so drastic? Well, Jesus says elsewhere that we're in deep, deep trouble. So bad it required him to die. Why? Well, let's first start, who are we in trouble with? Well, the Bible tells us we're in deep, deep trouble. But it's not with ourselves. It's not with our others. It's not with our boss or our law, with the law or with our spouse or our parents or our kids. We're not in trouble with them. Sometimes we are. But something even more serious than that. We're actually in trouble with God. Now, that's crazy. To be in trouble with your parents, for you kids, that's pretty bad itself. I don't know if you've experienced that. My kids never get in trouble with me. They always get in trouble with my wife, right? She's the bad cop. And I get in trouble with her too, right? We're on the same page, that one. But if you had experience of getting in trouble with your boss, that's pretty bad, isn't it? Because it's danger of either get demoted or get out. Get in trouble with the law is pretty bad. Get in prison or get fined. But stop a moment and think, what's it like to get in trouble with God? That's crazily mad. And what's the trouble we're in with God? Simply put, we've broken all his laws. We've tried to run our own life our own way. We live our lives as if God doesn't matter or God doesn't exist. Imagine a husband living his life as if his wife doesn't matter or doesn't exist. Imagine our kids living their life as if their parents don't matter or don't exist. How do you think the wife would feel? How do you think the parents would feel? And they'd be pretty angry. Pretty angry. And this is what we've done to God. We've tried to ignore God. We've tried to run our own life without him. We live our lives as if God doesn't matter or doesn't exist. And God is angry. Very angry. Wouldn't you? If your spouse treated you as if you didn't matter and don't exist, you'd be angry. If your kids treated you as if you don't exist or don't matter, you'd be angry. If the parents treated their kids as if they don't exist and don't matter, they would be angry. Well, why wouldn't God be angry? If we treat him as if he doesn't exist and doesn't matter, God is angry. And since he's going to deal with that, it means that he will punish his people. He will punish everyone who's rejected him and live this life as if he doesn't matter and doesn't exist. And that's where Jesus steps in. Because what does Jesus do? He swaps places. He takes our place. He dies our death. He takes our punishment. So that in his death, we can have life. When he was punished, we were blessed. When he was cursed, we are brought back into the very presence of God. So you see, it's weird, isn't it? Two weekends ago, it was the weirdest weekend I've ever been. From a funeral to a wedding. A celebration of life, and that was something to truly celebrate. As we rehearsed the life of our dear brother Gordon's son. As we celebrate the wedding of our dear couple in our congregation. And today is a weird weekend. Because we celebrate probably the greatest event in human history. Not probably, the greatest event. And that is the death of Jesus. Who came to do the most incredible thing is out. And that is to swap our life with his life. That we might have life through his death. That's why Good Friday is so strange. Without his death, we would be dead. Without his death, we would be facing God's punishment. Today we celebrate his death. In his death, he has given back our life. I'm going to hand it over to Winston now. He's going to, what I've spoken about, we now get to visualize. Thanks, Winston.